Than Talent Radio.
More Heart Than Talent Radio is brought to you today by my book, The Anger Factor. If you find yourself emotionally overwhelmed, frequently in conflict, resentful, or suffer from addictions, my book, The Anger Factor, is designed to assist you to change your finances, improve your relationships, change your health, improve your self-esteem, and so much more. Begin the process of letting go so you can finally release your tendencies to be angry or emotionally overwhelmed. To get your free copy now, go to goldenmastermind.com/anger. Releasing rescue consciousness. Now, in the context of releasing, what releasing means in context to spirituality, quantum physics, the quantum field, and recovery is being able to let go of emotions tied to events that create a corresponding response, meaning emotionally addicted to a set of feelings. Now, if you find yourself having tendencies where you rescue people, you over-obligate yourself to them, you tend to do too much, you have challenges with boundaries, you don't know why you do what you do, you get guilted into doing a series of situations, and you find yourself in an overwhelmed state wondering why you do what you do. This will also lead to unorganization tendencies, being late because you've got so much on your plate. Rescue consciousness also leads to food addictions, is because there's a correlation to this term, I have so much on my plate. In this type of modality of addiction, it's very common to be overwhelmed and stuff your feelings, hold on to feelings, repress your feelings, and create the same situation over and over. It's also a very common commonality to move into owning your first business and feel responsible for other people's success, feelings, outcomes, etc. Now, as you begin to take on someone else's responsibilities, you start to take on their troubles, their worries, you start to take on their successes, you now become overwhelmed. So imagine what happens. You start to recruit, enroll, attract a few people into your team with this kind of emotional state. It's a recipe for being overwhelmed on top of being overwhelmed. And if you are a person who, as a child, had to take on a role as a rescuer, a parent, you lost your innocence, you had to step to the plate, you had to be a grown-up, take care of a family, you had to man up, woman up when you were a child, you became a man boy, a woman, a woman child, and you had to pay for your family. Your money would go to your family. You'd actually have to give your money over, your babysitting money, your mowing the lawn money. Well, you're going to lose your innocence because you're rescuing someone. Rescuing is deep-seated in addiction. It's deep-seated in dysfunction. And if you take on this identity, there's a high probability that somewhere along the journey you lost your innocence. So what does it mean to be a rescuer? It typically means to be an enabler, E-N-A-B-L-E-R. It means over-obligating, doing too much, and then feeling responsible for other people's actions, feelings, etc. Now, how do I? Well, before we even get into how do I, it's imperative that you understand that it's events that cause the rescue behavior. As you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, as you have a better understanding of what the term codependency means. Codependency has more than one definition, but for practical application in tonight's call, codependency means that you derive your self-esteem or lack thereof, or you create your identity or your personality by over-obligating yourself to others. Now, this means there are people who, through random acts of kindness, through charitable goods, they tend to do a lot. Now, there are people who are really, really skilled at being charitable, at being kind, at being generous, and at being able to uplift people and fanfare for the common man, do good for a community, for a school, for any multitude of situations. Now, I'm not specifically talking about that. I'm talking about when it's taken on as an identity, because there are times and situations where it calls on us to really step to the plate and assist other people and stop along the roadside for someone or loan someone some money occasionally. But when loaning money becomes an identity and you end up having more debt than you have assets because you've loaned your money away, well, that would be another form of enabling. Enabling means that you derive your personality by doing more for others than you do for yourself. Now, that means it's going to be your responsibility to find the balance in your personality, create boundaries that you perceive and understand to be healthy, and not feel guilty if you're not doing more for others. Now, the word selfish also shows up, and selfish ends up hindering a lot of people because they have challenges saying the word self in their vocabulary because they don't want to appear to be self-centered. But self-esteem does not mean you're self-centered. Self-esteem means you feel comfortable in your own body. You're capable of being able to make decisions without feeling guilty, responsible, or any shame. You're able to have healthy boundaries. And self-esteem also goes along with being self-directed, self-inspired. But many people have challenges even mouthing the word self because of the term selfish. And this is also why many people tend to over-obligate themselves so they can deflect from looking at themselves, looking at their own lives, not have to feel responsible for themselves because they can derive a self-esteem or self-confidence by taking care of others. Now, if you're on this call and you're listening and some of these statements and terms I'm covering apply to you, then here's what you want to understand. Tonight can become a recovery process. You can step into a level of power. You can let go of force and counterforce, the black and white dichotomy, the right and the wrong world, the someone has to lose while other people win. You can also let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. You can separate your feelings from the events, and you can move into a place of empowerment, power, conscious awareness, love, joy, bliss, and most importantly, enlightenment. Now, as you begin to let go of events, feelings, your energy changes, and that energy shift, that energy change, starts to elevate and raise your level of consciousness. As you become a leader grower, rather than an enabler and a rescuer, then you're going to attract your reality, a different type of situation, opportunity, and person to your enterprises, your coaching practices, your online marketing endeavors, your fan pages, your Facebook pages, your LinkedIn pages, etc. Because you start to emote, transmit, and give off a different energy. An energy that says, rather than I'm a rescuer, an energy that says that I'm capable. Rather than being a rescuer and enabler, you're able to make decisions. You're able to commit to the process. Now, most people that find themselves enabling and rescuing, they can commit for others but have deep-seated commitment issues for themselves. And by deflecting and looking at their own cause that creates the effect of their own indecisiveness, their inability to commit and decide, they typically are much better at deciding for others. And they will tend to over-obligate, do too much, and be in control of being out of control. The addiction is a control issue based on being able to have to take care of an outcome for others so they can deflect from self. This person that is a rescuer or an enabler also tends to put themselves last. And by putting themselves in the middle or near the top of the line or first, they feel selfish. This identity is driven by guilt. If you've been guilted into this role, if you feel guilty if you're not taking care of people, if other people use guilt to control you, to come over and take care of them, you never come over and visit me, I can't believe you didn't call me on my birthday, it was Mother's Day, the holiday, the Sabbath, it was whatever it was, you didn't follow through. And the people that use guilt to control you usually use force while you become their counterforce. They make you wrong, you feel guilty, then you feel a sense of duty and obligation, and you feel like you're supposed to do more. Now, if this becomes an identity, this will show up in your business ventures. You will find people that you over-obligate yourself to early in your business relationship, which then creates an expectation, or they expect you to continue to over-obligate yourself. Now, you have a relationship that's completely out of balance. And if you also are someone who carries a team, nurtures a team, creates incentives for teams that are out of alignment with company structure, policy, or whatever the situation, then you're going to create a team that's dependent upon you, and there won't be any independency. And that's what the word codependent means, a dependency on an outside source based on an ulterior motive, based on a situation based on control. as you have a better understanding of how you got conditioned to behave this way, as you understand why you are guilty. Guilt also leads to resentment. The people that tend to over-obligate and rescue also tend to do too much with an expectation that they'll get rewarded. Unfortunately, this situation typically does not get the rewards that is merited, and then the person is disappointed who is the rescuer. In rescuing consciousness, the ultimate ulterior situation is to control the outcome. This typically shows up in dating and mating also, where one of the partners is financially challenged, and they begin to lean on the other person. The other person then uses credit, borrowed money, other situations to take care of the other situation going on in the partner, the spouse, the significant other. This starts to create a relationship that's completely teeter-tottered and out of balance. And for you to be balanced is for you to be in the middle, to have a better understanding of, rather than trying to be in control, you learn to let go of control. You want to be coming from a place of power where you're not responsible for other people's feelings. You make me angry. You would have to learn to understand that you don't make anyone do anything. They may be angry because of your actions, your words. They may be sensitive and defensive, but you're not responsible for someone's feelings. Even if you cross the line and you're aggressive, you're abrasive, you do the wrong thing, you say the wrong thing, you're still not responsible for someone else's feelings because they're responsible for their feelings. And you want to also learn to not have, if you're a rescuer, you typically talk too much. And you spend too much time explaining, validating, justifying, going into long dissertations, drunkologues, explanations about why you do what you do. Now, if this is you tonight, take a good look at why you do what you do. The Handbook for Rescuing, Enabling, and Codependency is a landmark book called Codependent No More and any of the other derivatives that Melody Beatty wrote. You can also find great content from a resource called Hazelton Institute that creates a lot of good content on this. By affirmations, breathing, letting go, understanding, awareness, Al-Anon, CODA, a 12-step meeting called CODA, adult childs of alcoholics or other situations so you can start to understand your role better. Any 12-step program, which comes from absolute power and not force, because 12-step programs have anonymity. They're not owned by anyone. You're not forced into going. It's all suggestion-based. Whereas drug and alcohol treatment, there's more force involved in that situation because you're oftentimes guilted into staying, or interventions, the same situations, you're guilted into recovery. Recovery never happens unless you're committed to letting go of the pain. So if you understand that you have a challenge with codependency and rescuing, tonight could be an ideal, opportune situation for you to address the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. You weren't born a rescuer, you were conditioned to be one. You weren't born codependent, you had to take a role on as a child that lost your innocence. As you have a better awareness and understanding of why you do what you do, you can begin to separate your feelings. So people will say to me, yeah, but how do I do that? Well, separating your feelings is not a how do I. It's a committed state of consciousness in an energy called awareness. As you become more aware, meaning you have a deeper understanding, as you live in the inner knowing of recovery and the let go process, as you have a better understanding of why you avoid conflict, why you avoid writing content, why you avoid prospecting, and but you'll do it for someone else. It's a very commonality for this type of personality to spend their entire day doing three-way calls for teammates or building their team, which is a component of success. But if you're deflecting and avoiding your own success to take care of others, then that would probably be an addiction. And the more you understand why you do this, the modality of how it got created, then you can move into a place of enlightenment and empowerment where you can separate your feelings from the events. But when you stay in a place called denial, don't understand, question the process, continue to do what you do, then you will receive the neurochemical feedback that keeps you emotionally addicted to a set of feelings. You will come from anxiety, and the anxiety typically will be guilt and shame. Those are the emotions that fuel the consciousness of codependence. Guilt and shame also is followed by resentment. If you do more for others than you do for yourself, and you don't get the critical acclaim, if you don't get the gold medal, if you don't get the award, the hug and the high five, the pat in the back, if you don't get the girl, the guy, the trophy because you're over-obligating yourself, then you will be disappointed. This type of disappointment can also lead to resentment. Resentment is a much deeper level of anger. It's an abiding anger, a held-on-to anger, an anger that is very unhealthy, an anger that provokes, promotes, and creates diseases. I spend every day of my life coaching clients who will show up in uncomfortable emotions, who will show up feeling overwhelmed, or specifically in a set of diseases. It's very common for my clients to show up in a repressed state with hay fever, nasal congestion. Well, I always break down what are they repressing, what are they holding on to, what conflict has happened to them in the last few days. Invariably, I find that it's a series of feelings based on a series of events that have created the emotional state of anxiety. As you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, as you have an understanding of the awareness required to let go, and then letting go becomes a skill and a committed practice, then you'll become very skilled at this situation. You will not hold on to situations. You'll have healthy boundaries. And you're not telling someone no, you're telling someone you're clear. When someone asks you to do something and you're not comfortable with it, then you don't want to feel like you're letting someone down, like you're making a mistake. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to lose a relationship. When your body goes into fight or flight and starts creating these words, these sounds, and these feelings, then you are emotionally addicted and neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings that keeps you codependent. Now, your objective is to be able to be independent of others in ways that are empowering. You still are going to require other people's feelings, but you don't require other people's recognition. Babies cry for it, men die for it, recognition, but many people do more for recognition than they will do for prosperity. And if that is you, take a good look at why you do what you do and begin to separate the feelings from the events. Have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect. Easily and effortlessly let go, and realize that caretaking is also what creates your low self-worth. As you begin to let go of the control of the outcome and understand that denial of true feelings and dysfunctional situations are what's creating some of your diseases, your overwhelmed weight, your overwhelmed body, the feelings that you stuff, it's very common for an enabler, a codependent caregiver, a chronic over-obligator to also be a food addict. It's very common because those feelings are easily stuffed with food. They oftentimes start early in childhood when another codependent mother, grandmother indoctrinates them into the addiction of food with GMOs, trans fat, cupcakes, ho-hos, ding-dongs, bad soda, chocolate chip cookies, stuffed feelings, and then communication style that leads to an overwhelmed, overweight, over-obligated situation. How many of you grew up with someone who slaved in the kitchen and they talked about it? How many of you were told that we may not have money, but we definitely have food? How many of you learned that food was love? How many grew up with a grandmother, a mother who was in the kitchen? How many grew up in a family that have family gatherings of the 20 or 30 people in a little house where it would be stuffed and then people would be packing it on the plate? Oh, we can really pack it on. Going back for triples and doubles of food to repress and stuff feelings. And then the cleanup. What was the cleanup like? Remember, just really think about that. Have you ever been to someone's house where they completely over-obligated themselves, went beyond the call of duty? I'm not suggesting they weren't a good host, but you can tell someone who goes way beyond the call of duty because they try and fill your plate up. They try and add more on your plate. They want to get you something. Can I get you more? Can I do this for you? Can I do this? You can get away from me. Now, that occasionally happens to me at some of my events when someone walks in. Now, many people think they're coming from random acts of kindness and goodness when really they're coming from low self-esteem, codependence, over-obligation, chronic rescuing to take care of others. As you have a better understanding of cause, these are the events. As you look at the events, how you were conditioned to behave. As you get out of this statement, my whole childhood was a blur. Someone said this to me today. I had this situation it happened in heaven at 7 years old, and after that I have no memory. Then I pointed out, who's your third grade teacher? Where did you go to grade school? All of a sudden, the memory they say didn't have by my ability to reinforce past events and past geography points and other situations that happen in your life chronologically, your memory comes back. When you stuff your feelings, when you're not allowed to feel, then you're putting your feelings toward others. When you're not good enough, you're going to find a way to create self-esteem and self-loathing by doing more for others. The problem with doing more for others, when it becomes overboard, when it's over-obligated, when it's off the charts, out of control, when you're doing that, it's very common for the people you do much too much for don't recognize you for your contribution. When you're coming from contribution, and that's what you believe it is, and then it crosses over from contribution to control, now you're in a place called codependency. The more you understand this term, the more you understand what it means. It means to enable, do too much, derive your self-esteem, derive your personality by over-obligating yourself for others because you're guilty. And if you can't let go of your guilt, which is the lowest transmutation of energy, you will have challenges building any businesses because your 80% will not be your... So in the 80-20 rule, when you live in this type of energy, it means that your 20% will be your 80%. 20% produces 80%. 80% produces 20. But when you're a chronic rescuer, enabler, over-obligator, you're going to attract your reality, people and situations that are in alignment with your beliefs. So if you believe that you have to do more for others than you do for yourself, if you believe that it's your responsibility to take care of people, if you believe that you should... that you're worried about someone else's failure, then you're going to attract people neurochemically and emotionally to fulfill these feelings of low self-esteem, abandonment, rejection, and resentment. Those are the three emotions that are so quickly associated with this type of personality. How many of you actually grew up with a mother or grandmother was like this? How many of you have a sister or brother that was like this, or someone in your family that became the family caretaker? Or how many of you grew up in such an overwhelmed state and so much chaos in your household that you became a grown-up before your time? You started cleaning the house. You gave your money to your parents. Your parents actually took your money without telling you. And I've actually seen parents actually latch on to other kids and young grown-ups' credit cards and then compulsively run up the debt. And then that young man, young woman, then feels compelled to pay the debt off in this completely dysfunctional relationship that's fostered by a series of events driven by emotional addictions that creates this dysfunction. Now, the more you understand why you do what you do, the deeper you look into the cause that creates the effect, the more you understand mind-body connections, the better you are at understanding quantum physics and why we do what we do. As you begin to collapse the events you hold on to, as you breathe through a set of feelings that no longer serves you, as you become aware of the cause that creates the effect in the events, and then you practice this simple art of letting go, you're attracting to reality a new modality, a new group of people, a new set of circumstances that begin to show up on command. Rather than attempting to control the outcome, you live in an emotional state called command, where you're able to easily adapt and adjust. You don't hold on to feelings from past events. You're not worried about failing. You're not worried about getting rejected. You're not worried about making mistakes. You're not worried about getting in trouble. When you let go of your stories, your anxieties, then you start to have a better communication style and skill. When you're a chronic codependent rescuer in rescuing consciousness, you usually have communication challenges that break down. You're usually not clear in your communication. You don't ask the questions required to receive the outcome. You're not typically a good listener because you're only hearing what you want to hear. And then you're going to over-obligate yourself to others. What does it mean to be a chronic over-obligator? It means you have challenges with boundaries. It has challenges with the word no. Challenges with the word says, I can't. I'm not in a position to accept that. I'll have to pass this time. I'm going to let you go. I'd like to do it, but I won't be able to comply this time. Hey, I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to pass. And with this type of personality, it forces you and puts it upon you, don't succumb to the guilt that takes you back into the addicted relationship called codependency. As you're no longer the mind-body connection, as you address the events that shape the feelings, if you have a better understanding of how to elevate and raise your consciousness, then you won't stay in a low emotional vibrational state called codependency. You'll let go of your anxieties, your fear, and doubt. oh my God, what's going to happen if I don't take care of my team? Well, your pretty little pets, they probably will experience some challenges because they've become dependent on you and you've become dependent on them, which creates a totally dysfunctional relationship. And if your relationships are dysfunctional, it's going to show up in all of your walks of life. And the more you understand that recovery is a one-day-at-a-time process, that it's an absolute privilege and a pleasure to be in a state called recovery, as you let go of your anxiety about what you might be missing, you'll start to change the energy and transmutation of your feelings so the corresponding response that comes off your emotions are a different set of emotions than anxiety. As you let go of fight or flight, as you let go of control, as you let go of letting go, as you let go of being right, as you let go of being angry, hateful, harmful, as you let go of abandonment, rejection, guilt and shame, overwhelmed feelings, grief and apathy, your feelings start to change. You start to transmit and transmute from a higher level of awareness. It's that awareness that allows you to separate your feelings from feeling responsible for others. And as you let go of your anxiety about responsibility, there's a higher probability you can create a culture, build a team, build a database, create an email list, any multitude of situations that allows you to be in free enterprise driving commerce. As you're able to let go easily and effortlessly and have a better understanding that a lot of what you're doing is anger and resentment driven based on events where you were violated or you were taken advantage of. A lot of this modality is someone taking advantage of you, putting you in a position and a role that you shouldn't have been put in, and now you have to live this out the rest of your life until I show up and teach you the inner game and the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. Cause and effect is driven by events. It's the events that shape the feelings that creates the neurological network of neurons that wire and fire that form your emotionally addicted state. That emotionally addicted state is driven by a series of emotions based on the events. Anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. These are the main emotions that drive you into inaction, inactivity, overwhelmed. The emotions that drive you into codependency are typically guilt and shame. You've been shamed and guilted into situations where guilt becomes an identity. This is a relatively challenging emotion to let go of because of how deep-seated it is. If you're committed, you're committed. You can overcome anything, provided you understand the meaning. There's meaning. There's purpose in what you're doing. As you begin to live in rigorous honesty, as you confront yourself, your objective is not to confront others. You may carefront someone, but you want to confront your ego, confront your identity, confront your personality, and realize that you're not getting your fair share, and realize that you're shortchanging yourself by over-obligating yourself and taking care of everyone else. You, in selected situations and ideal situations, you will still stand the gap and be a man and woman who's a man or woman of influence, who's dependable and be counted on. You'll still come from that place, but you won't come from low self-esteem where you're attempting to control an outcome so you can be disappointed. Now, as you let go of the cause that creates the effect, you are you and you are free. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated.
Thank you for listening to the More Hearts and Talent Radio. If you enjoyed today's content and would like more insight and education to create emotional resilience, then take advantage of my free Anger Factor book giveaway. The impact overcoming anger can have on your life is immeasurable. It can assist you to change your finances, improve your relationships, change your health, improve your self-esteem, and so much more. Start the process by letting go of emotional overwhelm today. To receive a free copy of my Anger Factor book, go to goldenmastermind.com/anger.